welcome everyone to the Spoken Nerd, the podcast about database technology. I'm your host, Connor McDonald, and in this episode, we're focusing on not spending a cent. Unlike other podcasts I'm sure you've listened to, you get ads throughout and promotions for things. You've never had ads in this podcast. It just doesn't seem right to me to do so. And on that similar vein, I figured we'd talk about the kind of stuff you can get in Oracle that is also free of charge. I would call this episode, "The Best Things in Life Are Free." Of course, the first thing we should do whenever we're talking about Oracle and free stuff is talk about the elephant in the room. And that is, when it comes to Oracle, we are well known in the community for having a perhaps less than favorable reputation when it comes to licensing. In fact, I remember a while ago, someone was talking about some free stuff in terms of Oracle. I may have even tweeted about it for a presentation, and I got some replies, and I took note of those replies because I figured it would be useful in future to refer to them. And so this is a reflection of how the community sometimes feels when it comes to Oracle and licensing. These are real quotes from the community. "Oracle licensing can kiss my great, big, fat, hairy ass. Oracle just care about milking their customers for every penny they can. Oracle sales are public enemy number one. Oracle licensing sucks, even their salespeople will tell you that. Maybe it's because Larry waterskis behind his yacht. And finally, private Hawaiian islands don't pay for themselves." Thus, I fully concede that sometimes there is some friction out there when it comes to Oracle and licensing and the like. The second elephant in the room, perhaps, is myself. Namely, I work at Oracle, so you're perhaps expecting a biased viewpoint here. But one of the things I want to stress is, yes, I do have my Oracle hat on because I'm an employee of Oracle. I'm coming up to my 10-year anniversary at Oracle. However, before that, I'd spent some 22 years being on the other side of the coin. I was an Oracle technologist, but I wasn't working for Oracle Corporation. I'm hoping that is at least some justification to you, that I'm going to give what I believe is my best take on things, my own personal experiences, not some sort of marketing, cleanly washed, overly optimistic view of the world. I wanted to talk about my personal experiences when it comes to how I exploit the various free offerings in Oracle as if I was not an Oracle employee. With that out of the way, let's talk about why I think it's worthwhile having an episode about free stuff from Oracle Corporation. The first one is what I call our involvement in the concept phase of projects nowadays. I think the world is changing for IT professionals. In fact, our roles are changing. We used to be always just employed as what I would say a software practitioner, someone who gets employed by an organization and your job is simply to crank out code, crank out databases, crank out software. And we would have dedicated people in an organization who would be called the architects. They would be the ones that would make core decisions about what technology to use, what platforms, what strategy the company was going to use for their IT going forward, etc. I think that's changed. I think nowadays anyone who is a software practitioner is also involved in the software architecture phase. You may have heard of this in terms of developers get to make a lot more decisions than they used to in organizations. And it's often now that developers, as a collective in an IT organization, are called upon to recommend the best approach. By and large, I think this is a good thing. I think many minds is better than a single person making these decisions. Of course, there is a downside. You've probably heard the term CV-driven development, namely developers picking an approach or a technology solely so they can bolster that piece of technology on their CV. That does occur. I've known some projects where people have chosen a technology purely so they could say, this is something I wanted to learn. But in the whole, I think developers have embraced this new responsibility of trying to come up with the best solutions for technical problems. To bring an Oracle perspective to this, let's say as a developer, you're working in an organization and I came to you and I said, I need the best options to audit a table. Every time I make a change to a table in our project, I need to be able to audit those changes. What would you do? This is why as a software practitioner, you have a greater decision-making role. To audit a table just inside the single platform of the Oracle database, you could use the audit table command. That's a valid approach. You might opt to use triggers, an insert, update, delete trigger for every single table that needs to be captured. You could mimic that using a materialized view log instead. you could, of course, use GoldenGate. It's a genuine change capture facility that we offer inside Oracle. You could use LogMiner to dig into the redo logs. You could use Streams, even though it's now deprecated. If this was a development environment, you might use DBMS WM, the Workspace Manager facility, which also allows capture of deltas. You could use DBMS FGA, DBMS fine-grained auditing, which also allows capture of some auditing information. Maybe you would use flashback query, using the versions between syntax to see the deltas of every single row in a table that's been modified. You could use flashback data archive to make that a permanent record, so you actually have physical segments that store every single change. We have a facility called the Advanced Queuing Asynchronous Callback, where you register interest in a table and changes get propagated onto a queue, which you can then respond to. You could use logical data guard standby, which means the changes which are mined out of the redo log become DML that get applied to a second node. You could then use the logical standby as a way of capturing deltas. You could use a homegrown solution, which is some, none, or all of those things all intertwined. And of course, there are third-party solutions out there. There used to be one, I think, called SharePlex. I'm not sure if they're still around, but there's numerous solutions out there, which all generally are based around mining the redo logs. Which of those is best, you might ask? Well, that's not really the question you want to ask. The question is, which of those is the most appropriate for a particular scenario in a particular situation? If just one of those solutions was always the best, then the other ones would quickly die out. So each of those had their own pros, their own cons, their own merits, and therefore as a software practitioner, it becomes your decision to best advise on which ones to do. The second reason is the concept of building and delivering systems has changed over the years. When I first started in IT, every developer would use the same tool. There would only be one or two tools available to you, and you would be delivering systems maybe annually or every 6 months or so. The world has changed. Now there's a much greater focus on developer productivity and the tools associated with that because we deliver much more frequently. We have things like continuous integration, continuous deployment, and developers as a result have greater exposure to production systems. It's important that they are more productive and also can mitigate risks in terms of working with production systems. So there's a lot more involved in the developer toolset. Now, I want to also quantify for the rest of this episode what I mean by free. Obviously, one aspect of a free tool is a facility which is 100% free. But the second thing I want to also focus on is perhaps options inside Oracle which are not free, but I would call them very smart investments. Because in reality, it's very rarely about the actual cost of a product. What really matters for any organization is not the cost, but the return on the investment. If something costs $100, but you think the value of it in terms of its usage is only $10, that's wasted money. If something is $1 million, but the return on the investment seems to be tens of millions, then you think that's money well spent. So ultimately, the definition of free, in my opinion, is obviously stuff you pay nothing for, but also things that you get significant return on in terms of any investment that you choose to make. With that in mind, you can imagine I've given you an Oracle gift card, and now we're going to go shopping through the Oracle solution set to come up with things which are free or exceptionally good value, in my opinion. Because the amount of free stuff we have available is so large, I'll break this podcast into two episodes. The first episode will be talking about all the free tools we have. And the second episode will be everything that isn't a tool, things like platforms, education facilities, etc. So let's leap straight into tools. And the most obvious tool when it comes to developing the database is SQL Developer. It has been free since its inception, and many developers are more than familiar with the Java program. You simply download it, unzip it, and off you go. Probably the most popular predecessor to SQL Developer was Toad, Tool for Oracle Application Development. It was written by a single guy who made it available on the internet, and it very quickly got swept up because of its popularity by Quest, and then it became a much bigger and paid product. I'm not here to throw shade on Toad. I know it's still very popular in the community, but one thing I do want to point out is that SQL Developer is 100% free, and Toad is not. Last time I looked, just on the Quest website, and so don't take this as gospel, it may have changed since I last looked, the professional edition of Toad was about $1,200 in my currency, that's Australian dollars. So somewhere in the order of maybe $800 to $1,000 in terms of US dollars, but you can check your local currency. If I've got two developers, then maybe you might be considering that a couple of $1,000 isn't really a large investment. But most organizations have a lot more developers than that. And also, there's been this rise of what I would call citizen IT. Most places I've worked in the last decade or so have a development group, but there's a swag of other people in the organization who are now SQL literate. They might be the data analysts, they might be business intelligence, they might be people in finance operations. There's a plethora of people now in organizations that need access to data, and sometimes they have very simple tools in which to access them. They don't have pre-delivered solutions which mask all the SQL from them. Thus, when it comes to SQL Developer versus Toad versus any product that you have to pay for, it's worth having a good, long, hard look in your organization at how many people actually run SQL queries against your database. Before I joined Oracle, I worked on a project with about 30 or 40 developers, but when we added up the number of Toad licenses we had to cover all the other people that were accessing the data for ad hoc query, it ran into the order of about 100, which means $100,000 in Toad licenses, whereas SQL Developer was free. That was a $100,000 saving we delivered to that company just by switching tools. Don't get me wrong, there was some pushback. There was a few DBAs who were like, we've been using Toad forever and we prefer it and it's got some particular facility that we don't like the equivalent in SQL Developer, etc. Even if that is the case, I still think there's an excellent motivation for SQL Developer to be the core tool as the default for everyone in your organization. And if particular users or user groups have particular requirements that require some sort of paid for tool, whether it be Toad, whether it be Peel SQL Developer, whether it be any other paid facility, there's still significant savings to be made by simply using SQL Developer as a free product and then having just a one or two licenses for those people who have particular needs that maybe SQL Developer does not meet. Whilst on that topic, a lot of people make that decision from decades ago. They go, oh yes, the version of SQL Developer I looked at 10 years ago didn't have the facilities I need. Well, I always tell people, take a fresh look, because as a product, it has evolved and matured and got more and more powerful every single time they release a new version. Whilst I'm on the topic of SQL Developer and citizen IT, people that just need the occasional ad hoc access, one thing you may have noticed on our cloud facilities now is the availability of SQL Developer as a web platform. This lets people use SQL Developer functionality without installing anything. If you've ever installed SQL Developer, you're probably thinking, well, that's not really such a big deal. After all, it's just a zip file. You unzip it and you're good to go. However, I've seen literally numerous Ask Tom questions where people say to me, oh yes, I'm trying to access this particular data type in 19C, but we can't because we're using SQL Developer 18. And I go, why are you on SQL Developer 18? Why not move to SQL Developer any version in the last year or so? And the response is often, we can't do that upgrade, it's just massive effort, etc. That tells me that you haven't got a SQL Developer issue, you've got a process issue, because in terms of installations, I've never seen anything easier than SQL Developer. A lot of our tools are just unzip and go. But if you are hamstrung in this way, SQL Developer Web, which comes straight out of Ords, another free product which we'll get to, lets you run SQL Developer purely out of the browser without the need to install anything. Within that same SQL Developer product suite is a facility called SQL Data Modeler. It saddens me to mention SQL Data Modeler because I'm sure a response that's on many people's mouths is, well, we don't really do data modeling anymore. I always feel really sad if I get called in to help a customer and I need to understand how their system runs. And so I'll go to User Tab Comments, the list of comments associated with every table. And typically they're all null. Or I'll go to User Col Comments for all the column level comments, and they're all null as well. It's always very sad because as an external person coming in to help, which is equivalent to any new developer coming onto a new project, the absence of any comments at the table or column level is always something that actually just throws you under the bus. But I'm also a realist. I understand people aren't doing a lot of data modeling, but even if you don't, please, even if you just do just one thing, namely, fire up SQL Data Modeler, reverse engineer your schema into the modeler so you can at least print out a ER diagram for your database. Even that is vitally useful for any new developers coming along. It's useful for existing developers when they're working on parts of the project they may not have seen before. Even that is going to be a massive benefit. And SQL Data Modeler does it very easily and, of course, does it for free. But as I said, please throw some comments on. Or if you're on 23C when it comes out, throw some annotations on your objects. Help the next person who comes along to maintain your code. Another free tool is SQL CL, equivalent to a command line version of what's offered in SQL Developer. The moment we hear the word command line, we often think, oh, well, we've got SQL Plus anyway, why do we need another command line tool? SQL CL is a natural, perhaps, successor to SQL Plus because it has the ability to be extended very easily. Some examples I can give you. Number one is, if you're doing source code control, SQL CL has nice native Liquibase facilities. All you have to do is in SQL CL is run help on the LB command, and you'll see it has all these facilities for using Liquibase as part of the command line tool. You don't have to exit out of the tool in terms of to get access to Liquibase. So things like generating a schema using GenSchema or updating schemas with change logs, etc., are all available straight from the tool. Also available straight out of SQL CL is access to Datapump. Datapump is a very powerful export tool. However, that power comes with an enormous list of possible parameters you can use. One of the things that the SQL CL team did is make the core functionality of Datapump, the ability to export schemas or tables and import schemas or tables, very simple. So it's just the DP command in SQL CL and you get access to Datapump. SQL CL also has hooks into Apex. You can export and import applications direct from the SQL CL command line. You don't have to use the Apex GUI or write your own shell scripts to get access to export and import operations via Apex. If your flavor of database is not the Oracle Database Edition, but more MySQL, there's an equivalent MySQL Workbench facility, which is also free. You can use MySQL Workbench. It's a GUI facility to monitor your MySQL instances and has a SQL developer style ad hoc query interface as well. And still, there are more free tools to talk about. Oracle REST Data Services, or ORDS as you might know it, is also a free tool. When it first came out, it was called the replacement for the Apex Listener, and people thought, oh, that's all it provides, services to allow the use of Apex within an organization without having to install an entire web server, etc. But like so many other tools, ORDS has evolved to pick up more and more functionality with each subsequent release. And if you're using any kind of service integration layer, which is common nowadays, ORDS should be your first port of call. Before joining Oracle in 2015, the previous project before joining was with a customer that had an application that sat across two databases. One database has provided read-only facilities, and another database provided read-write style facilities. And they had a service layer that kept those two databases passing information between the two. This project team was unaware of ORDS at the time and wrote their own service layer. They were writing a complete set of facilities that all spoke to the two databases via REST in C#. I don't know the exact numbers, but if I had to guess, I would say that 60% of the entire code base was probably that service layer, the management of message passing between databases and application components. They rolled their own. If they'd used ORDS, it probably would have been maybe 6% of the entire application stack, because most of ORDS is simply declarative models. Simply declare the services you want, declare the modules and programs that will be enacted as a result of calls to those services, and the job is pretty much done. It can also handle authentication and all the components you need to ensure security within your service layer. If you want an idea of how much more effort it would be to actually roll your own REST services layer, head out on the Google and have a search for some articles we did in Oracle Magazine many years ago talking about if you wanted to build your own REST APIs, and you can see it was a monumental task. So ORDS, which gives you those hooks into Apex, but also gives you an entire service management layer, is of course free as well. And still there's more tools to talk about. For some time now, we've had a plugin to VS Code called Developer Tools. It was written by the .NET team. VS Code, being probably the dominant IDE out in the marketplace, has thousands upon thousands of extensions, and the developer tools for VS Code was one of them. That facility has now probably been usurped by an even bigger and recent announcement, which is SQL Developer for VS Code. Rather than a big Java program you have to download and install, you can simply grab an extension called SQL Developer for VS Code, and you've got SQL Developer style functionality now right there in VS Code. If you're a Windows developer and you're more GUI related, we've even got developer tools for Visual Studio. Once again, another free product you can simply download and use to your heart's content. So hopefully I've convinced you when it comes to tools, there's a massive assortment of facilities out there offered by Oracle, none of which cost you a cent. I think we'll wrap things up there for this episode. All we've done is cover just the various tools that are available that are free to use in the Oracle database. And notice I didn't even touch on perhaps the most dominant development tool we have floating around at the moment, which is Apex, which has gone from a silent partner inside Oracle to being perhaps the dominant development platform for almost any Oracle application needs you might have. That could be the topic of an entire separate episode, but I'll leave that to the Apex guys. In the next episode, we'll talk about things like free platforms, free education opportunities, and a myriad of things you can utilize within the Oracle ecosystem, which all are free or very, very cost effective. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. The music credit goes to Zanman from Pixabay Music.